Most of us, possibly even all of us, have been on lengthy trips. I'm thinking particularly of lengthy car trips. And if we've been especially blessed in the double sense of that word, it's sometimes used, we've done it with small children. And there are all kinds of questions that children can ask. But one of the questions that they always ask is, are we there yet? And I'm sure you have heard that question more times than you want to, in various situations. Are we there yet? And there are so few answers that are at all sufficient for the person asking. The two that do at least something for them, well, the first is obvious, and it's yes, we're here. And the other is that we're almost there. Because that hearing that we're almost there provides some hope, even if the driver is occasionally providing false hope. When I was the faculty advisor to a youth ministry team that went out on the weekends, and they would drive in a van and get there whenever they got there, and sometimes the trips were quite lengthy. And one of the leaders who did most of the driving, I think primarily because he didn't trust anybody else, but he was a good driver, so I was fine with that. His unfailing response to whenever anybody, and these are all college students, let's not forget, who could probably read a map and work things out for themselves, his unfailing response, whenever they asked, are we almost there, was yes. They'd say, really? He said, no, we still have hours to go. But didn't you feel good for a second? Eventually, they stopped asking, which only makes sense. But almost there, it provides that lift of hope that it's almost over. All that we've gone through is about to be behind us, and we're going to arrive wherever that is. At Grandpa and Grandma's house, those are the trips that I remember wanting them to be over the quickest, whatever it might be. But there's a problem with the answer, we're almost there. And I'm sure all of you know exactly what that problem is. And that's the incredibly elastic nature of the word almost. Almost there, to a five-year-old, means you're in the driveway. Almost there, to the driver, who is in hour six of a seven-hour drive, is, yeah, we're almost there. We've done most of it. We've been driving for 6 hours. Only an hour left. Both of them are right. Both interpretations of almost are right. The problem is that it's hard to figure out who means what by almost. I can remember telling my kids that we were almost there when we were going to visit their grandpa and grandma in Edmonton. And when we weren't there, in the next, depending on the age, 30 seconds or 5 minutes, as they got a little bit older, being accused of lying, among other things, when I answered yes to saying we were almost there. Because almost for them was so much shorter than for me. I had a different perspective. I looked at it and I said, yeah, we're almost there because, my goodness, we were a mere hour away. Well, as I was looking at our Philippians reading this morning, and I was thinking of it in the context of Lent. Here we are in the fifth Sunday in Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Passion Sunday. We're almost there. We're almost to Easter. And we are almost there. But if you look at it from another way, we have two more weeks. We have a third of it to go yet. How can we say that's almost? Because almost depends on very much where you see yourself. Almost is a really subjective word. I don't think if you were to go to the dictionary, you would find anything even remotely resembling an objective definition of almost. So we bring all of our own hopes and our own experiences into a word like almost. And so Easter is almost here. We've almost finished Lent. But I was looking at even the larger picture as Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and particularly the last paragraph of our reading, where in this translation, Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Sisters and brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, pressing on, straining towards what is ahead. Why do we want to know if we're almost there? What happens when we realize we're almost there? Whether it's a road trip, whether it's an exam you're writing, whether it's waiting for someone to, whatever it might be, what happens to us internally when we get the almost? We get this lift. And that lift is hope. That lift is confidence that we're going to make it. Because even when we have no particular worries about making it, if we're just driving from here to wherever there might be, if we're driving from Regina to Vancouver, which is the last long trip I took, well, knowing that you're almost there gives you strength for that last little bit. And this is where the really useful part of the elasticity of almost comes in, because you can get that lift whenever you see the end as being within reach. Because you don't say you're almost there if you don't think you're going to make it. You don't say we're almost there if you can't even imagine how long it's going to take to get there. You say we're almost there when you realize that, yes, this will happen. We will get there. And that's what I see Paul talking about. I see Paul looking at what has gone on in his life, realizing that there is still more to do, and at this point he had no idea of how much more he had to do. Nobody does. When it comes to our own lifespan, we don't know when we're almost there, at least not very often. I'm in my 50s. When I was in my early years, 50 was immensely old. Like the very notion of 50. A half a century. Oh, goodness sakes. What would that be like? Well, as it turns out, it's like everything else, only a little bit slower and occasionally a little creakier. When I was in my middle teens and that sort of thing, 50 wasn't so old anymore, but due to my own frame of mind, I wasn't entirely sure I was going to make it to 50 for lots of reasons, and there were some other people who weren't so sure I'd make it either, so I was making some very poor choices then. And then on the other side of that, I began to realize that 50 is sort of the middle now. And now that I'm here, I see it's not even the middle, it's the end of the beginning, if it's anything. But I don't know that I'm going to live to be 100. I don't know that I'm going to live to be 60, because I don't know. I can't say as far as my life goes that I'm almost there at the end, and none of us can. But what I can say is that of all these things that I'm reaching towards that aren't measured in years or days, but are measured in what it means to know God, maybe I can say I'm almost there. Not because I have a clearly defined, when I've done these several actions, I will have accomplished what this is, any more than Paul did. Paul doesn't say that he has his to-do list almost checked off. Rather, Paul says, I haven't gotten everything that I was just talking about, but I press on. I keep going. I don't have it all, but I'm not focused on what's behind me. I'm looking towards what's coming ahead. And that's another thing that almost there does for us. It changes our perspective. When we're in the middle of a long trip, and this appears to be especially true of the young, although I've had this feeling when I certainly wasn't young, you get this feeling that sort of flashes through your mind that you are always going to be in this car. that this is now the rest of your life. You will never get out. You will never do anything else. You'll just be here with your irritating brothers, as I was, or sisters, as my kids are, forever. When you're old, you know that's just a flashing moment. But when you're 3 or 4, I'm not so sure that doesn't have an authentic sense to it. But when we realize we're almost there, we stop looking at where we are now. And it changes our focus. When you're in the car on the way to Grandma's house, all you're thinking of is making it through this car trip. Not getting car sick, if that was one of the things that happened to you. Not killing or being killed by one of your brothers, as you have the usual conflicts that happen in a car. Are we ever going to stop so I can go to the bathroom? Are there snacks? All these things that involve the trip, and your focus is just on the trip. But when those magical words of "we're almost there" come, then your vistas expand and you see, oh, all the things we can do at Grandpa and Grandma's house because they live on a farm. We have animals. We can run around and do things that we can't do at home. And your whole perspective changes. And that incredibly irritating sibling that you had just moments ago becomes less of a problem. Because you're not thinking about them anymore. You're thinking about maybe getting to ride with Grandpa on a tractor. Getting to ride in the back of the pickup truck, which is something you never do at home. You have a sense of excitement, of optimism, of expectation that makes those last moments in the car where nothing has changed except your feelings about it makes it more bearable. We're almost there. We're almost to the end of Lent. No matter what age we are now, we're closer to that time when we're going to see God face to face. And when we look at our ultimate reality of being with God forever, and we realize that that will go on forever, the time remaining doesn't seem quite that long. The difficulties that we face now that come with age, more responsibilities, more things to worry about, grandkids to be concerned about, our own physical erosion. When we look at those things, which are all real and not to be ignored or forgotten, but when we look at them in light of forever, they don't seem quite as long. They don't seem quite as daunting. And we realize that we're almost there. Paul talks in other places that we're closer being with God than we were yesterday, because of course we are. Every day moves us closer to that time. There are things for us to do in that space, that duration between almost there and there. When it's a long car trip, it's collecting your stuff, making sure that everybody's awake who needs to be awake, putting your shoes back on, all of those things that you need to do so that when you arrive, you're ready. But isn't it easier to do those things from the perspective of there rather than the perspective of a trip that's going to go on what seems like forever? Of course it is. Those things that God calls us to do between this moment and whenever we arrive at the end, some of which are really hard to do, some of which are really painful, some of which are long and grinding and difficult, become easier when we look at it from the perspective of what it will be like when we're there. It doesn't change the fact that they need to be done. The fact that we're almost there doesn't mean that we can just stop doing what we're doing. But we do it from a different sense. I've always looked at this paragraph in Philippians as one of the most encouraging and hopeful paragraphs in all of Scripture. It may not be that for you, but it is so much for me. When we see Paul talking about all that he's done, an immense amount of work accomplished and good work lasting to this very day. And he says, I haven't gotten everything. I'm not made perfect, but I keep going. I strain towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. These are the kinds of words that are spoken by somebody who sees that they're almost there. That what they're doing matters. That they can continue going because all that is going to eventually be worked out in the culmination of all things is on its way. Paul knew that what he was doing mattered, and he knew that he was going to get there. Paul knew he was almost there. He knew that the trip wouldn't last forever, because the trip isn't the destination. And he could look at that the same way we can. We can use this fifth Sunday in Lent, where we're almost to the end of the Lenten season, as just a lens to look at our lives overall. I don't know if we're moving into the last third of our lives. I don't know what the math is for anyone's life. But what I do know is that when it comes to an eternal relationship with God in His presence in ways that we can barely even imagine, we are almost there. Amen.